mean for their parents. We have that haunting audio and visual from the border. Where is this hope that if I weep, if I scream, mom and dad will come back to me? And so we hear this so audibly. And then the next phase is this phase of despair. And, you know, the reports of these children not playing, not running around, not doing the things that we would expect toddlers and children to do is this kind of withdrawn state, this kind of collapsing in on themselves. And then the third is this phase of detachment. And this we understand is almost kind of this aloofness that even just if a child appears to be doing well, that doesn't necessarily correlate with what they're actually experiencing inside. And so even when reunification happens, there is so much going on in this moment that the child is both filled with joy and anger and fear, and the parent is filled with both relief and guilt. So in the same moment, there is so much happening for both parent and child, and the trajectory of that affects these children. So it's not just the moment of separation, but we know that this carries on throughout their lives for many of these children.
I want to read from the letter you wrote. To try and argue that this policy of ripping children from the parents at the border is somehow different from the systematic traumatization of children during the times of slavery, forced assimilation, and the Holocaust is to disregard history. To somehow convince ourselves that systematic traumatization of children has no bearing on the lives of these children, no impact on the legacy of our country, is to be living in an alternate universe, and to not care about the impact of these policies have on children is to succumb to the worst potential of humanity. The intergenerational effect of this, Dr. Sinopoli.
Yes. So I'll try and really put this slowly, but we know that that which is so overwhelming to the mind, that for which there are no words, these unspeakable, unformulated traumatic experiences, they get passed down to the next generation. And a really fine example of that is that after 9/11, there was a report in this book, Lost in Transmission, of a
sidewalk
scene on 5th
Avenue. And we're going to go to that report in part two of our conversation, Dr. Sinopoli, and we're going to post it online at democracynow.org. That does it for our show. Psychologist Dr. Sinopoli, our guest. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
In the event lightning strikes someone near you, take prompt action to save the victim's life. Give first aid immediately and get medical attention as quickly as possible by calling 911. People struck by lightning carry no electrical charge and are not a danger to those providing first aid. Remember, you are in danger from lightning if you can hear thunder. Lightning kills. Play it safe. This message is brought to you by the Iowa High School Athletic Association and your local National Weather Service office.
Close your eyes and imagine you're on an unspoiled beach somewhere. Sunlight streaming through the palm leaves. A paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. Because the Nature Conservancy works locally with people like you to save precious places around the world. Forever. That way, closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. Nature.org.
All right, it's just spooky hearing Paul Newman in our studios again. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going good. It's pretty good. Pretty nice day today. It's crisp, you know? It's one of those non-humid, non-hot, non-windy days.
Blue skies.
Blue skies everywhere you look, even when there isn't supposed to be a sky. And I don't know what that means, but it's a pleasant day.
Yeah, and if you don't know or can't see blue, it's just vast, you know? That's the other way to describe the color blue.
If you can't see, but you see something, yeah. And to you that's blue, because it must be that color no matter what. I mean, my orange could be your blue. There's no way to prove it.
Hmm.
Imagine that.
Sounds like synesthesia or something.
Well, we've been tearing our hair out organizing a conference, so we might sound a little flustered. But that's just the nature of what happens every 2 years. It's fun watching the World Cup. We've been doing that. Well, I got to tell you, I saw this game the other day. I think it was on Sunday, where England really shellacked Panama. It was 6-0 going into the closing minutes. And it was amazing what happened at that point. Panama scored a goal. They scored a goal. Their first goal, I think, in the World Cup. And they were delirious. The fans were going nuts. Everybody was jumping up and down like they had just won the championship. They scored one goal against England 6. That's what the World Cup is all about. You know, it's not about being number one. It's about just being there and the accomplishments that happen and sharing all that together. That's the magic of it.
Absolutely. I've been watching. The thing with watching it, I want to qualify. It's sort of been, while I'm doing other things, just I can't devote that much time.
No.
I understand the Olympics are the same way, but it's like watching so much soccer. Like, I don't know how everyone else is spectating, and maybe people are catching, you know, all the games at once on one day, like on a Saturday. They just watch everything all the way or whatnot. I mean, definitely DVRs and stuff like that help, but it's so hard to fit that in that it's... It's really been more of a background thing, but what I have seen is just really cool. The passion, everyone dresses up, I think, is really cool. And how people display their national pride and all of that. And then, of course, how the anthems and so on, all that stuff plays out.
I love watching the anthems.
It's fascinating, yeah. And just such a stirring thing to see.
Yeah. And, you know, whatever your thoughts are on nationalism and pride and all that kind of thing, it still is it's a positive, uplifting thing when people come together. It just is. And I think you see sportsmanship, you know, opposing players helping each other up and you know, they're teammates on other teams. So a lot of them are already friends. It's just an incredible spectacle to see. And it is the entire world. We talked about this last week. This is happening everywhere, all the continents and many countries. And just watching it all unfold in front of you. But yeah, as Kyle said, we're not riveted in front of a TV set watching this. We're doing things and it's on in the background. Occasionally you hear excitement. That's when you turn your attention to the set and you can always replay it if you miss something.
And they photograph it really well. There's not a lot of clutter. There's not a lot of interruption in the coverage so far.
Mm-hmm.
And even the advertising is like, it's you know, entertaining. It's
you know, as long as you brought that up, there's a McDonald's ad that really kind of sticks in my craw. It's basically everybody's at a McDonald's, right? It's morning time, and I guess the Spanish staff are watching the World Cup because they seem to know all the rules, and they're correcting the stupid English-speaking people who don't understand why the guy isn't getting a penalty kick for a simple foul, or how come this guy can touch the ball with his hands, but that guy can't. Stupid questions like that, but they're very patiently answering. And then, you know, at the end... basically, somebody scores a goal, everybody's cheering, and it's a big, you know, happy event. But one guy asks another guy, so what's tomorrow's breakfast game? You know, because apparently that's how they refer to it. It's early in the morning because Russia is way ahead of us, time-wise. He asks, what's tomorrow's breakfast game? And the other person says, does it matter? You know, and I know what they're trying to say. They're trying to say it doesn't matter because it's all interesting and fun. But also, you know, the United States isn't in it. And I sort of sense this kind of hostility towards the whole thing. Like, does it matter? Who cares? That's the other way you can read that ad.
Yeah, and I think that that's sort of the kind of writing that directors and people that create that stuff, they go for that so that it can be read in like a sort of omnidirectional, like anybody can interpret it. And so the language oftentimes that is produced is deliberately kind of vague or can be duplicitous in its meaning. I don't know if that's the right way to phrase that. But it's that that stuff, I mean, at least is sort of branded with the whole soccer event, and there are in jokes that are, you know, related. And of course, I think it's just it's not as annoying as other events that are covered in this way. And,
yeah,
and just the game itself, you see just excellent shots for me as a photographer, just seeing the like just how close up they are, even on the wide shots and the aerial stuff. Really amazing. It's really seamless the way they're cutting between things, and even the replays and stuff don't distract. Like, they're not doing too much of that. They are using more technology now to actually incorporating rules and review into the adjudication of it, or the refs have that at their disposal now.
Yeah,
which
the
is
VAR system.
Yes, which is it's interesting just seeing that deployed and how it's impacted the entirety of this particular tournament.
I saw the ref yelling at the machine the other day.
You did not.
No, he was. I don't know which game it was, but I guess he wasn't yelling at the machine. I think he's talking to somebody upstairs.
Okay.
He's telling him to look at the machine, so he's looking at the machine, and he was yelling for a good 30 seconds there, and then he came back on the field, and his decision stood. So I think he was overruling somebody telling him that he got it wrong. And saying, no, I'm sticking with my decision despite what you might think you see on the screen.
Well, it's great that then becomes a communication that the ref can have so that in hindsight it doesn't end up being a bad call, or at least he's affirmed in a call that others might have said was bad, but in reality, you know, he stands by it after review. And it's just having it set up so that you can quickly go to that and then go back to the game, it really seems to be a cool way to do it. And it sort of embraces just the coverage they're already doing. They're already doing spectacular photography. Like I said, even the wide shots are lens such that, you know, you can see a lot of detail, and it's not the whole field such that they're tiny and you can't see anything. You can see some of the gameplay even in the wide shot. So like the coverage and the photography is already there. They even use a lot of that for creating the branded video games, so why not incorporate it into making the game accurate?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something worth seeing if you're not familiar with it, because as you said, it encompasses the whole world, and I think that's what fascinates me more than the game itself, is just the globalness of the whole thing.
Yeah, those interactions can't be discounted.
No, not at all. So we're not in it. Panama, they basically took our place because we lost to Trinidad and Tobago in a qualifying, and now Panama is out. It's going to be interesting to see. I haven't seen half of today's game, so, you know, it's hard not to have the scores ruined, especially, you know, they play them simultaneously. The third game in the group match, they play simultaneously to avoid collusion between the teams. So, you know, it used to be that they wouldn't tell you what was going on in the other game, but now they update you, and if you turn the sound off, you see it on the screen, they flash it. So they really, it's not geared for people like us, I guess, that that wanted to see it all unfold in front of us.
I would actually, I would say, I would go further. I would say this is a point of contention that they messed this up. Showing a score in real time, you have to understand with DVRs and people doing time shifting in their consumption of this media. You put things on like that, and you also the coverage, news stories, and channels gleefully announcing this. It can affect it.
Not so gleeful here, at least.
Yeah, but it can affect it if a large percentage of the viewership is actually time shifting, and may have yet to see a particular game or the other. I mean, we started off really, really well. We were on delay slowly as the games picked up. And it's been okay. We haven't been, you know, like had too many games or scores revealed while we're just interacting, you know, in our everyday lives, but we hit a rough patch in the last couple of days. It just, it was one thing after another, accidental things. I think, what was that? I don't know what I was watching. It was some particular program that, that announced it out of nowhere.
No names. But yeah, we were actually listening to this radio station, and it was one show that actually is following this. And for some reason, I paused the game I was listening to. You were on the other side of the house, and I heard a USB bellowing, and right then at that point was when the score was announced. It doesn't matter, though, because it's not about the score so much as how they get there and the things that happen along the way. That's what makes it really, really fascinating.
Yeah, I really didn't mean to do any of that. I've just been, as I said,
second. It just happened.
We've been working on things, and it, as I said, it's been in the background, and like we aren't like really just sitting and watching nonstop soccer and not doing anything else. So I wasn't quite paying attention to what was being said on USB, and yeah. Anyway,
like for instance, there's an Argentina game that is already over. I have no idea what happened. Did Lionel Messi ever get the score? You know, he's having a horrible World Cup. Ronaldo, that bastard, keeps hitting everything, you know, keeps scoring all the time. So obnoxious. I wish Messi could win, but you know, they were playing against Iceland, and I want Iceland to win, and they played again today as well. I don't know what happened with them, so I have to be careful. But it's not likely that people are going to be talking about Iceland, certainly, unless they did something really amazing.
We're redoubling our efforts to stay out of the know.
Not pay attention as more than usual, and that's how you get more work done. So it's therapeutic in that particular way. Anyway, so let's not spend the whole show on the World Cup, because we have other things going on, other really important things going on.
Yeah, there's like leftover clippings in the station here. There's a lot going on.
Not mine.
In the news. Yeah. I know that is not ours, but I'm just saying that a lot of things are worth mentioning, to the point where people are just leaving stories behind. But that's how chaotic the newsroom is here at WUSB.
Well, we've hit a point in our nation's history, I think, where civility is just gone. And basic human caring seems to have gone out the window. It doesn't matter to see the harm that is being inflicted on human beings around us. We don't care. We see them as the enemy, and it doesn't matter how innocent they are. It doesn't matter how non-harmful. Just seeing the horrible things that are happening to people. It's enough to really make you question just what this place is all about. And I think, you know, we've really seen this come to a head over the past couple of weeks. But I'll tell you, I never thought we'd be in this particular situation. I never thought I would see the day in this country where we would do something as cold-hearted as turn Sarah Huckabee Sanders away from a restaurant. I mean, who are we? Why would you do something like that? Where's our humanity? Have we learned nothing from history? You can't just tell somebody they're not welcome in your establishment because they'll tweet about it. And she did. She tweeted. And now everybody knows that if you go to the Red Hen in Lexington, Virginia, and you're a fascist, you might not get served. Or you will get served, but in a different way.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's I can't believe we're here. I'm glad we're here. No, seriously, I am so glad we're here, because of all the other crap that's been going on in this place over the last few weeks, separating kids at the border and basically kidnapping them and treating anyone trying to get into this country as a criminal. It's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting what we have seen. And I am all for losing the civility. I am all for it right now. These people... Yes, these people, the people not that have opinions, you can have an opinion, I don't really care, but if you are in charge of enacting legislation and being the spokesperson for these harmful policies that are destroying families, literally killing people, and just basically turning our nation into a nightmare, then yeah, you know what? Every single moment you spend in public should be a living hell. And anyone who makes sure that happens is a hero, as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, Sarah Sanders, you might want to just pull up to the White Castle or something and wear sunglasses, because that's about the only place you might... I don't know why I'm picking on White Castle. They've got standards, too. No, you can't even go there. You're going to have to...
Brown bag it.
Brown bag it, yeah. Do so, I don't know. You make your bed, you know? But yeah, this happened. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and the reason we found out about it was because she tweeted about it. She was asked to leave a Virginia restaurant by its owners on Friday night because she works for President Donald Trump. Now, think about it for a second. All right? Think about, she was asked to leave, and it could have ended there. But no, she tweeted about it. Now, she's the press secretary. And Trump has since tweeted about it as well. He's the president, okay? He's got like a billion followers, all right? So basically, they are targeting this place now. That is not exactly acting graciously, is it? No, you're basically being a bully now, which is exactly why you got kicked out of the place in the first place. So this is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. If something happens like this, you deal with it as an individual, you know? You don't try and get your minions to shut down the place. Trump was saying how filthy they are. Yeah, well, he wants to shut them down by saying they don't live up to the Board of Health requirements or whatever. He will do that kind of thing. This is why people are upset. This is why they don't want you around them. You are not nice people.
They're implying their formula, but they're applying it, as you said, to personal... personal circumstances, and it's going to backfire because it's exactly exemplative of what people are concerned about.
Well, this is what she said. Last night, I was told by the owner of Red Hen in Lexington, Virginia, to leave because I work for POTUS, and I politely left. POTUS, of course, it was a hashtag. Mm-hmm. Her actions say far more about her than about me. I always do my best to treat people, including those I disagree with, respectfully. And we'll continue to do so. Really, Sarah? Really? How about you hang out with some of those people? Because the way you treat the press, I don't think, and they don't even disagree with you. They're just trying to report the story and understand what the hell you're saying. But spend some time with people who disagree with you. Let's see how nice you are to them. Because I don't think you can handle it. I don't think you will last very long without resorting to your bullying tactics that you learned so well in this administration. So, her actions, whoever this her is that you are targeting, Stephanie Wilkinson, the owner of the 26-seat restaurant in Virginia. I don't know why she went to that place, but I'll tell you what.
So threatened by this.
We're going. We're going to this place.
We should go.
I don't know what a Red Hen is. I've never heard of it before, but I've heard of it now. And I admire people that stand up for their beliefs. Now, she didn't just say, I don't like you, you know, get out of here. Basically, she respected what her staff was telling her, that they weren't comfortable with this, that they didn't feel right. And her chef her chef had called her at home to tell her that Huckabee Sanders had arrived with a party of eight, and she came in right away. Wilkinson met with her employees, who she said were aware that Huckabee Sanders had defended Trump's banning transgender people from the military and the administration's migrant family separation policy. She asked them, should I ask her to leave? They said yes. That was the right thing to do. I'm not a huge fan of confrontation, she said. I have a business. I want the business to thrive. This feels like the moment in our democracy when people have to make uncomfortable actions and decisions to uphold their morals. Oh, thank you so much for saying that. You have no idea how much we need people to say things like this and to act like this. Absolutely.
It's people recognizing their own leadership over the current, purported leadership, or, you know, the symbolic leadership that has failed.
Yeah. But you know, the right wing has jumped on this and is targeting the place now. And, let's think about the irony here, because basically what she stands for is policy that excludes people, except when it's her being excluded.
Yeah. Think of the cake case, and that worked its way through the Supreme Court.
It's against our religion to serve somebody like you.
You know? But they don't want just their religion. Look, that's what they could squeak by in the Supreme Court. They would much prefer to be able to discriminate. This is why laws all over about anti-discrimination have been attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Yeah. I mean, it's religious excuse is just that. But the ability for them to discriminate based on these things, things that are protected in a lot of states and cities, they would be all too happy to be able to, you know, refuse to bake cakes and do all of that. Then when it is sort of served back to them, they're up in arms and attacking a 26-seat restaurant.
They will attack anything or anybody that challenges
and
them.
Here's why. I mean, this is like, in, you know, their small business initiative then becomes, let's make all small businesses so fearful that they all fall in line, just like everyone in the sanitized swamp crowd. You know, they just want everybody in the party and everyone to else who may even be close to a fence, you know, fall in line or get out. And, you know, this just becomes another opportunity, as I said, to apply their formula. So it takes a lot of guts to have said this. But I think, as you know, I said this before, having faith in your own leadership over their purported leadership is winning out. Unfortunately, it plays into a lot of the tribalism, but we need a little bit more people to draw the line and say, you know what, we're better off without falling into line with that.
What do you mean by tribalism?
Well, I mean, you end up looking out for your employees. You're acting much more locally, and it is in the interest of your business, and it's an alienating solution. But that's kind of what we're up against. That's kind of what the moment we're in. So that those strident businesses and people who are listening to their employees and not forcing them to serve this ideology and people that, you know, that are against them or otherwise causing a lot of strife, they wouldn't otherwise feel like they had choice. Where if their leadership is feeling powerful enough, then they can act independently. But when everybody's acting independently and there's no interaction, some business will fall off. Are we going to have like different restaurant neighborhoods for different parties now and stuff? I mean, are we going to have like Yelp for different businesses? You know, you only go to the conservatives' businesses. We saw some of this in Ireland, right? Like the Protestant neighborhoods and stuff like that.
That's different religions.
I know it's totally
right, but it could go that way here, I suppose, where there's a conservative part of town, there's a liberal part of town. I understand where the Red Hen is. That's a liberal enclave. I didn't know those existed in Virginia, but this is, and I imagine it's even more liberal now. So I don't think they're in any danger, but I still want to go down there, and I want to support other places that stand up to this in other ways, and other businesses can certainly do that. Other people can certainly do that. Hey, there was a this is kind of funny. I guess an intern who cursed at Trump walking through the Capitol, a congressional intern who hollered, "Mr. President, F you," across the Capitol Rotunda last week, has been identified, according to Fox News, and has not been fired. It's only been suspended. And Fox is really upset at that. But it's kind of beneath my standards. But still, we're talking about it. And if somebody's intern is that upset at the leader of the country, you got to look at that. You got to say, why are people reacting this way? People are getting really upset. And I think, you know, distasteful as that reaction might be, it's better than being quiet. It's better than just accepting it and trying to be polite, because that gets us nowhere. It really does. It takes two to play at the polite game, and one side has stopped playing that.
Wait. We don't know that this intern wasn't delivering a message from Trump's constituents.
From Trump's constituents?
Yeah, he could have just been relaying something, you know, as a part of their duty. Uh-huh. You know, they received a phone call and they were just passing the message along to the president. That seems to be them doing a good job.
Well, it's, I suppose. But she worked for Senator Maggie Hassan, who Fox put a big picture of her on that story. I guess they're trying to shame her into firing that particular intern. But she's a Democrat from New Hampshire, so it's unlikely she was conveying Trump constituent messages. I think we know exactly where she was coming from. And there are a lot of people in situations like that. Remember the person who gave Trump the finger when his motorcade went by and was fired for doing that, even though he couldn't even see her face. There are all kinds of ways you can lash out, and I think we've never needed people to lash out more than now. And this is how it's done. Who was the head of Homeland Security? Was it in the Mexican restaurant?
Christian Jordan.
Well, yeah,
Jordan. Whatever is that her name
role?
Is?
You know, I don't even know what her role is.
Christine.
To be honest.
Christine.
Yeah, with the person with the extra J's in her name.
Yeah, she got a bunch of J's.
Yeah, and she was in a Mexican restaurant of all places. This is the person that is helping to spearhead separating families. And she goes to a Mexican restaurant. First of all, you know, I would not feel safe doing that if you basically are working against particular people, and then you go to a place that caters to those particular people or is run by those particular people. Yeah, you know, not everybody will be as civilized as far as how they lash out at you. And in this particular case, you know, shaming her publicly, some people say, oh, that's wrong. No, it's not wrong. It's not wrong because we've gotten to the stage now where so many people are suffering as a result of these people's actions. They need to be called out all the time. They need to not have a moment's peace because what they are doing is unconscionable. And I think people are starting to realize that both on the left and on the right when you see what is actually happening. Remember, when all this started, you know, so long ago it feels like, Trump was only talking about people who have committed crimes, people who are a danger. But now it's anybody. Now you can have lived in this country all your life, but if you don't have that right piece of paper, we're going to throw you into a country you've never been to. And same thing for adults, people who have lived here. Here's a story of a waiter who diner patrons here on Long Island have raised thousands of dollars for. A Rockville Center diner. That's where Salko Voxy worked for 15 years. Always treated customers with kindness and warmth. He moved to the United States in 1994. He was denied asylum in 1997. And at that point, he was issued a deportation order, but immigration officials did not act on it. He remained in the country. And basically, he was put on supervised release 8 years ago. However, in April, he was detained by federal immigration authorities and deported back to Albania. Wow. Yeah, he was from Albania.
Wow.
But this guy had been here for so long, had brought up kids, had a life, was known by so many people. And now the customers in this diner right here on Long Island, the Golden Reef, they're feeling it. I saw people crying. The owner says they still ask me every day if I have any news about him. A poster now hangs on the diner's front door with two photos of Sal, as he's known, an appeal to donate to a GoFundMe campaign created by customers to help defray the waiter's legal fees and other expenses. They've raised over $11,000 so far from 166 people. I understand you have people who do the wrong thing and need to be punished and removed, said one person. He worked hard. He's the kind of person we want in this country. So I have the feeling that even Trump supporters are starting to see this now, that this is just affecting all kinds of innocent people now. They don't care. You know, the people behind these policies don't care. They just...
Yet.
No, I don't think they ever will care. The people who are enacting these policies, they have hearts of stone. You know, and that's why they need to be called out constantly.
Well, I thought you meant the supporters, and I think, yeah, they may be seeing it, and I think they do care or will be a lot more concerned about it as they realize how hastily some of this stuff was thought through or not thought through, and just rushed in a lot of ways, and you know, a lot of the dissent wasn't really taken into consideration just to have this mechanism sort of enhanced and made into sort of the specter it is now with these separations.
I worked hard. I loved the job, he said. I love being with the people. I love telling them stories and learning their orders. According to the owner, he's the best waiter we ever had. And, you know, what's crazy about this is that by being honest, by reporting when you're supposed to report and filling out the right paperwork, that is what makes it easy to find you. And that's how they found him, because he wasn't hiding. He was living his life, paying his taxes, doing everything he was supposed to be doing. But because certain paperwork didn't exist, now he's the enemy. He's not allowed to come back to the United States for another 10 years for any reason because of this. Yeah, so much for your criminals. So much for those people that need to be taken out of this country because they're a menace to society. And this is how Trump is dealing with the situation. He's trying to change the conversation. Basically, on Friday, told the tales or being confronted with the tales of migrant children separated from their families at the border, he simply dismissed, quote, phony stories of sadness and grief. Yeah, it's all fake to him. And he asserted the real victims of the nation's immigration crisis are Americans killed by those who cross the border unlawfully. Yeah. You see, what he does, he basically demonizes anybody who is in this particular situation. Now, are there criminals? Yeah, there's criminals everywhere, okay? You pick a class of people, whether it's by occupation, by nationality, by color, by sex, and you will find criminals in every single category. That's not open to debate. But when you label an entire class of people as more likely to be criminals, then you're going down a road that I've seen us go down so many times before. And you realize this is how you get your way, by making people into something less than human. We've seen this so many times before. And if you don't believe me, simply substitute the word Jew for illegal immigrant in every sentence that Trump says, and see if you don't shake just a little bit hearing the words that come out of his mouth.
Yeah, it's the repetition, using that talking point. He's able to make people associate and have then a fear, a sort of misplaced fear that's irrational. But the irrationality is what he's counting on, so that he can achieve his end this way.
And you know, you have to look at your own relatives, your own background, and ask, what did they do when they came to this country? Because odds are they did something very, very similar and were not met with this kind of hostility.
Yeah.
And we're not turned away. We did it during World War II. We turned away boats filled with Jewish kids, sent them back to their deaths. And similar things are happening now. People are dying, going back to their countries where they fled because they were afraid, whether it was due to extreme poverty, whether it was due to gangs, violence of all sorts, government corruption. There's all manner of reasons why somebody flees their country. But we were always, you know, the shining beacon, the hope.
An option.
Yeah. And now we're just the door slamming in people's faces because we want it all for ourselves. The irony of that is that it hurts us more than it helps us to lock people out, because the people who really work to come to this country work harder than most people who are here, and they make a better society, and they build things, and they create businesses. And we're denying ourselves that in the future, as well as what we are denying to those people that are simply looking for a better life, like our relatives did, like our ancestors did. So, yeah, Maxine Waters, one of my favorite people, she's getting a lot of heat now. She's getting a lot of heat from Democrats, which really annoys me. It annoys me when Democrats don't know when to stand up and be angry. But basically, she encourages supporters to publicly harass Trump administration officials whenever possible. And Trump warned her on Monday through a tweet, "Be careful what you wish for, Max." Wow. Wonder what he's got up his sleeve. He basically called her a person with an extraordinarily low IQ who had called for harm to his supporters. Okay, that's not what she said. look at how he attacks somebody by implying that she's got a low IQ, which she could not be further from the truth. Now, this all started as a result of the Sarah Sanders situation. And this was... was her response to it. She said, if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd and you push back on them. Amen. You tell them they're not welcome anymore anywhere. So what is wrong with that? I mean, when else are you going to be heard? When else are you going to actually be able to send a message to these people that they actually might hear?
Yeah, it's cause and effect. Their policies have created a situation where there's a lot of dissatisfaction. And what other way can you voice that than in the public sphere and amongst citizens?
Yeah, I'm just sick of being polite. And that's what so many people in the party seem to want to continue doing. Nancy Pelosi, number one, she chided Maxine Waters on Twitter for her lack of civil discourse. So, at what point do we stop being civil? I think that point has come and gone. I think we have to actually raise our voices now and maybe throw a few things. Otherwise, how much are you willing to take before you actually do stand up and start being a little nasty?
Still haven't seen any pies. I mean, I'm really...
What's up with the pies, for God's sake?
We spent at least a show and a half talking about why, or at least raised it on two or more shows. Where are the pies? There's no pies being thrown. And yeah, I mean, there has to be the stir of dissent. I mean, it has to be manifested. And there shouldn't be this, like, separation where this leadership is away and like royalty in some castle. You know, it is of, for, and by us. So, you know, we need to act as such and communicate. And if people like Nancy Pelosi and other channels, mediums for communicating that dissent aren't really addressing it, I think it's on us and other leadership to step up. I really agree with what Maxine Waters said. You know, being impolite and more vocal, it doesn't mean being violent.
No.
You know, you can be uncivil and peaceful at the same time.
No, you will listen to me now. I'm talking. See, I wasn't violent. I was emphatic. Listen to me.
You keep shouting.
Yeah, well, you're not listening. That's why I have to shout. You see, there's ways of doing this, and we're being civil. We're being totally civil.
You're not making sense.
All right, there's no call for that for that gesture, Kyle.
Okay.
But, yeah, you know, this is what Cory Booker said. Senator Cory Booker from... Yeah. He basically said he agreed with Maxine Waters. If I saw an administrator out and about, there's nothing wrong with confronting that person. He encouraged people to always lead with love. I think that goes without saying, you know? And what do you mean by lead with love? Realize people are human beings. Don't be violent. It's not our way. And listen. Listen to what they say. What they say may be completely stupid and ridiculous, but let them say it, you know? Because if they don't say it, then you don't have a good quote. But by all means, do not... quell yourself from speaking up and say what is on your mind. Encourage others to do that. And when these people are afraid to go out into the street because they don't want to hear that public backlash, that's when we start making progress. Not when we simply sit around waiting for election day to come, you know, because the Democrats will find a way to screw that up too. We have to show outrage. I mean, look, all over the world, people know how to do this. Like Iran, for instance, there's demonstrations in Iran for some reason against their government because of the sanctions that the United States put back on them. I don't know why they're not demonstrating against the United States more than their own government, because we're the ones that broke the deal and reimposed sanctions against what we agreed to. We should be demonstrating things like that. Other countries, whenever some policy has changed, masses of people in the street, we don't seem to care. We don't seem to think our voices matter. And that is exactly where they want us to be, a place where we don't matter, where we just follow the orders and pay the price. We're all suffering for this. We're all paying more in taxes because of the tax break for the rich. We're losing our health care because of what's being done to the Affordable Care Act. all kinds of things. Our neighbors are being terrorized. Some of us are being terrorized. It's not healthy, and we need to speak out against it much more than what we've been doing.
Yeah, inflation is being spoken about, and fuel and other other everyday expenses are in some peril, I think, and people. Yeah, I don't even know where to begin. It's not going to change unless people are specific and adamant. And
it's a lot worse than just prices going up. A lot worse than that.
Yeah, I mean discrimination and other things are just being sort of thrown out of hand. The environment just all of the self-interest and for business and otherwise. I mean, it's not going to be an easy ride. With what has been done or thrown aside in the basically the last year or two.
The thing is, I just think we need to call it for what it is, because it's more than just discrimination. You know, that's such a nice word. That's a passive word. It's hatred. It's utter hatred and fear and loathing and dehumanizing, things we should never, ever, ever put up with. And it's becoming normal, and we can't let that happen. Listen to what Trump said. This is our president saying this, talking about the kids being separated from their parents. You hear the other side. That's the other side. That's the other side, is parents being separated from their kids because we're doing it to them. You never hear this side, all right? This side, basically referring to angel families who lost loved ones at the hands of people in the country illegally. This is his quote. These are the American citizens permanently separated from their loved ones. The word permanently being the word that you have to think about. Permanently, they're not separated for a day or 2 days. These are permanently separated because they were killed by criminal Jews. Oh, I'm sorry. No, not criminal Jews. I'm sorry. Criminal illegal aliens. I did that. I've been replacing the word illegal aliens with Jews. But it's very effective. It really is. Why would illegal aliens, which is a horrible phrase in and of itself, lead people to be violent? That doesn't make any sense. And the things that he keeps saying over and over again about invading forces and infesting our land, again, dehumanizing. We should not be putting up with this. These are human beings. These are people just like us. In fact, in many ways, they are better than us. They are certainly better than him. So this is the kind of thing that we need to challenge at every step.
Yeah, certainly. I'm with you, and I hope other people are a little bit more concerned with acting and dissenting loudly and getting together a little bit more than just sort of passively waiting for someone else to do something.
Yeah, you know, signing petitions is great. Voting is awesome, but there's more. There's a lot more. You know. It's staggering how much we are being quelled and programmed into not reacting in a way that actually affects them. And you can tell it affects them when they react. You know, the Sarah Sanders thing, that works. That got her attention. That has her tweeting about how unfairly she's been treated. And that's only the beginning. Imagine that happening every day to all of them. And there are so many bad people out there that are doing bad things to innocents. And we need to challenge that. We need to basically, like I said, make their lives a living hell, because they are certainly doing that for other people.
Yeah, there's no reason they should be comfortable at all in this moment. And we're not getting the kind of changes that are actually going to help people in the long run. And it's just... it's got to be pointed out, and it's got to be addressed right away. And I think we keep talking about focusing on elections and stuff like that. I mean, that's great, but this immediate stuff is deplorable. I mean, this is it. You know, this is the kind of things that I think people were concerned about and willing to do, but implementing these things in these ways. It's just it's just the wrong implementation. It's the wrong strategy. It's as has been said, inhumane. And yeah, here we are. It's one of many, many issues. And I don't know what's to be done. I don't know, other than just a fierce organization. Just like the Iranian example you gave, it's made me think of, you know, as much as people want, you know, to, they may be upset at the U.S. for implementing it, it's really the mechanism is them protesting their leadership for not having had the U.S.'s ear, even though any of our leadership listening to them wasn't going to stay in the agreement anyway. I mean, that was clear. So the leadership there is sort of, you know, like, well, what could we have done, I think. But their citizenry is still upset that they didn't work harder on their behalf to stop it, and are feeling the effect or seeing the approaching effect of now the U.S. being out of it. And I mean, we've seen larger protests over less. I mean, we've talked about Paris and other, you know, France and other countries.
We've seen larger turnouts for football celebrations.
Exactly. Yeah. Just in the last week, which, gosh, man, that is that strategic? I mean, that, I guess, keeps people busy and, you know, they're not thinking about, well, anyway, Americans, though, I mean, we're you know, watch out. See how your life changes. See, you know, what the bottom line ends up being, whether that's social or financial, or, you know, what things are looking like for you. And you know, consider how it's impacting other people. I mean, I'm kind of concerned if we're stopping all these people at the border and relieving this incarceration system. You know, cleansing and so on. You know, what's next? So we're going to focus inward. What is going to be the other, the big thing we're afraid of once the borders are closed? Mm-hmm. You know,
that's a very good point, because,
like, we're going to have a lot of jails.
It never stops. You think this is the end of it? I mean, they lied once. They said they're only going to get the dangerous people off the streets, and now they're coming after the busboys and the waiters and the people working in factories and the mothers and the fathers and separating kids. The innocent people, as innocent as you can possibly get. That's why people are so upset. So they lied about that. They're going to lie about a lot more. So, okay, what are they going to go after next? Somebody with a slight criminal record, maybe, or somebody of the wrong religion. You know, you might think it's impossible now, but we certainly would think this was impossible a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, this party's like really well. This administration, and by virtue of that, the party is really hell-bent on self-preservation. So, if their sort of rule of law tactic and direction is any kind of roadmap, I mean, that one would think they would try harsher interpretations of domestic law to, in effect, change society enough that most institutions and individuals are for them, thus preserving them either for another term or perpetuity, if that's the you know, if that is a realistic change, which we don't know it isn't, as far as Trump's aspirations.
Now, what do you think of the whole ICE thing? Basically, somebody was able to scrape information off of LinkedIn and reveal details about ICE employees nationwide. And the way the big companies responded to this, companies like Google and LinkedIn, obviously, and GitHub, they basically wiped all that data and shut down all accounts that had it. It's easy to find, by the way. You can find it both on Wikipedia, WikiLeaks, and archive.org. You know, what is the offense here? This is something that these people were advertising, that they were employees of ICE. And I think, you know, any employee of ICE is doing this dirty work. They should be exposed as well. And if you're really proud of what you do, that shouldn't be a problem for you. But I think it's a problem for a lot of people. And I think we deserve to know just who it is that's basically making our lives miserable, or our neighbors' lives miserable, and just tearing down what this country stands for.
I think that disclosure about the types of people that are working for this organization, that should be transparent. And also, this is sort of unrelated, but I think the visits, you know, being able to see the facilities and exactly what is going on, who's handling what, there needs to be a lot more accountability and access. We already know they're, like, you know, keeping people in cages and all of that, you know. These companies and subcontractors, I think, you know, they're really shrouded in a lot of secrecy. And, you know, it's just the organization of the data. The stuff was out there. And it's so funny that it takes, you know, an intelligent person or someone who's like, hey, well, let's just organize all of these. We'll make a list and to simplify, you know, this is that. That's what frustrates people. It's you know, all individual choices, but when those are then organized and we can see those choices in lists labeled X, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the big threat. And really, I would reiterate the, you know, if their job and their work is so noble, then what is all the secrecy? What is their privacy? Why is it more valuable? But
it's not even privacy, because they're the ones saying it. They're the ones putting the information on the net.
Exactly.
And it's simply being shared with other people. It's not like we're even digging into their servers to find the information. But I do think people have the right to know, you know, if there's an ICE agent in your neighborhood. These are not friendly cops. These are not people protecting you. These are people raiding homes and businesses and basically attacking innocent people. And you may say, oh, but they're in the country illegally. You know, you could point to so many things that are quote-unquote illegal, and are you going to demonize people forever for that? Are you going to make them suffer for that? Or are you going to consider each and every case fairly and judge it that way rather than simply demonizing an entire class of people? This is not the way to handle this situation at all. And it's not even a situation that needs such crisis intervention. It's not like there's mayhem in the streets. The only mayhem in the streets is being caused by what they are doing.
And I don't think they should deserve the comfort any more than Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Like, they should not be comfortable, you know, given what they're doing in the name of the government. Mm-hmm. They living and, you know, having their role in the world and in their neighborhoods ignored or be an unknown. It's just, that's way too comfortable for what the impact is.
All right. Well, we are out of time, unfortunately. We could go on for hours and hours about this and hopefully talk to people as well on the phone. But maybe next time you can write to us, though, otw@2600.com. Tell us why we're wrong or tell us why we're right. And we'll be back next week. Hey, I want to go out with, we were talking about commercials during the World Cup, and one commercial by Apple really jumped out at me. It's a Daniel Johnston song. They tracked down this Daniel Johnston song that I didn't even know about on an album I didn't have. I have it now. People are saying, oh, it's commercializing his music, and yeah, but you know what? It's also letting people know that this song exists, and this song is simply amazing. Daniel Johnston, if you have not looked into his music, is an incredible artist. All kinds of mental issues over the years, and recording albums on his cassette player while he was confined to mental institutions. But the guy is a genius. The guy is able to somehow talk to you and tug at your heartstrings. And this song really is effective and true and speaks to so many things that that are important to us. So I suggest people look at his work and hopefully appreciate it. We will see you again next week. Good night.
I don't know.
What would you
just read? It's like when you go to read your own poetry, you get all choked up.
And I'll tell a story about an artist growing old. Some would try for fame and glory, others aren't so bold. everyone and friends and family, saying, hey, get a job. Why do you only do that only? Why are you so odd? We don't really like what you do. We don't think anyone ever will. It's a problem that you have, and this problem's made you ill. Listen up and I'll tell a story about an artist growing old. Some would try for fame and glory, others aren't so bold. The artist walks alone, someone says behind his back. He's got his gall to call himself that. He doesn't even know where he's at. The artist walks among the flowers, appreciating the sun. He does this all his waking hours. But is it really so wrong? They sit in front of their TVs, saying, hey, this is fun. And they laugh at the artist, saying he doesn't know how to have fun. The best things in life are truly free. Singing birds and laughing bees. You got me wrong, says he. The sun don't shine in your TV. Listen up and I'll tell a story about an artist growing old. Some would try for fame and glory, others aren't so bold. Everyone and friends and family saying, hey, get a job. Why do you only do that only? Why are you so odd? We don't really like what you do. We don't think anyone ever will. It's a problem that you have, and this problem's made you ill. Listen up and I'll tell a story about an artist growing old. Some would try for fame and glory, others just like to watch the world.
It's Finn with your Finn's Revolution. Get out there and vote. If you have not in your local primaries, whatever you have to vote in, make sure you get out and do it. These things are very important. They are the basis for the future. Make sure you do those votes and you do them now. Secondly, we're going to celebrate the birthdays of three great guitar players. Mr. Big Bill Brunzi, Mr. Gilberto Gil, and of course, Mr. Mick Jones, right here, WUSB. Stay tuned.
One sip will make you well, oh, oh, multi-purpose in a jar. If you ain't ill, it'll fix your car. In days of yore, for all bad feelings, washing socks and stripping ceilings. Nowadays it's used medicinally for all non-human malady. Oh, it was really vile weather when we got tarred and feathered. You could hear the six gun sound as they chased us out of.
Kidnapping, extortion, receiving stolen goods, selling stolen goods, passing counterfeit money, and contrary to the laws of this state, the condemned is guilty of using marked cards. Therefore, according to the powers vested in us, we sent the accused here before us to Go Benedicto Pacifico Juan Maria Ramirez,
known as the Rat.
I don't have to show you how to stink, you fascist!